day, and welcome to the SeaWorld Entertainment 2016 Annual Meeting. I would now like to turn the conference over to Joel Manby. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I'm Joel Manby, President and Chief Executive Officer and a Director of SeaWorld Entertainment, Inc. At this time, I call the 2016 Annual Meeting of Stockholders to order. As Chairman of the Annual Meeting, let me begin by welcoming our stockholders joining us online. This meeting is the company's third stockholders meeting as a public company. It is also a virtual meeting conducted via live audio webcast. This format allows stockholders to vote and submit questions in real time and increases stockholders' participation and voting. My fellow board members are also taking advantage of this technology by attending today's meeting live online. In the event of technical difficulties, this meeting will be adjourned and reconvened for 1:00 P.M. Eastern Time this afternoon. The reconvened meeting will be conducted live via teleconference. You will be able to attend the reconvened meeting telephonically at 1-877-328-2502. Vote your shares either telephonically at 1-800-690-6903 or electronically at proxyvote.com. Please submit your questions during the reconvened meeting electronically at proxyvote.com. The details of the reconvened meeting will also be made available to stockholders as soon as possible on the Events and Presentation section of the SeaWorld Entertainment, Inc.'s Investor Relations website at www.seaworldinvestors.com, as well as a Form 8-K that will be filed with the SEC. At this time, I will now turn it over to Tony Taylor, our General Counsel and Corporate Secretary, to conduct the formal business portion of this meeting.
Thank you, Joel. Before we get started, I would like to cover a few administrative matters. Today's meeting has been duly called and is being conducted in conformity with the laws of the State of Delaware and the company's charter and bylaws. The polls opened at 11:00 A.M. Eastern Time this morning and will close at the end of the business portion of this meeting in approximately 10 minutes. If you haven't voted or if you want to change your vote, you may do so now online by clicking on the green Vote Here button on the right-hand side of your virtual shareholder meeting screen. We have five proposals scheduled to be voted on today. I will introduce each of these five proposals, after which the polls will close and we'll adjourn the formal business portion of this meeting. We will then provide the preliminary results of the voting based on a report from Beth VanDerbeck from Broadridge Financial Solutions, who has been appointed to act as Inspector of Election and is present at the meeting today. After reporting the preliminary results, I will turn the meeting back over to Joel for a few remarks from management, followed by a question and answer session and brief closing remarks. During this webcast, you will be able to submit questions to management, as well as to Kara Klinger, a representative from Deloitte & Touche LLP, who is present at the meeting today. Please submit your question in the space provided at the bottom of your virtual shareholder meeting screen. Broadridge Financial Solutions has delivered an affidavit of distribution establishing that notice of this meeting was duly given and the proxy materials describing the meeting's business have been duly sent or made available to the company stockholders. A copy of the notice of meeting and the affidavit of distribution will be incorporated into the minutes of this meeting. All shareholders of record at the close of business on April 18th, 2016, are entitled to vote at this annual meeting of stockholders. Our first order of business at this meeting is to determine that the shares represented at this meeting are sufficient to constitute a quorum for the purposes of transacting business. We have been informed by our Inspector of Election that there are 72,315,339 shares of common stock represented by proxy, or approximately 81.56% of all of the shares entitled to vote at this meeting. Because holders of a majority of the shares entitled to vote at this meeting are present by proxy, I can certify that a quorum exists and declare this meeting to be duly convened for purposes of transacting such business as may properly come before it. The next order of business is a description of the matters to be voted on at today's meeting. The first proposal before the stockholders of the company is the election of three Class III directors to serve until the annual meeting of stockholders in 2019 and until their successors are duly elected and qualified. Based on the recommendation of the Nominating and Corporate Governance Committee of the Board of Directors, the board nominated Donald Robinson, Deborah Thomas, and Peter Wallace for election. The board has recommended a vote for the election of each of the director nominees. The second proposal before the stockholders of the company is the ratification of the appointment of Deloitte & Touche LLP as the company's independent registered public accounting firm for the current fiscal year, as recommended by the Audit Committee of the Board of Directors. Services provided by Deloitte & Touche to the company include examination of the company's financial statements and review of its reports and other filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. As previously mentioned, Kara Klinger, a representative from Deloitte & Touche, is here today to respond to any questions during the question and answer session at the end of this meeting. The board has recommended a vote for the ratification of the appointment of Deloitte & Touche as the company's independent registered public accounting firm for 2016. The third proposal before the stockholders of the company is the advisory vote on executive compensation. We are seeking advisory stockholder approval of the compensation of our named executive officers. We believe the design of our compensation program and the compensation awarded under it creates an appropriate relationship between performance and compensation. The board has recommended a vote for the approval of the compensation paid to our named executive officers. Although the vote is non-binding, the Compensation Committee of the Board of Directors and the board will review the voting results in connection with their ongoing evaluation of the company's compensation program. The fourth proposal before the stockholders of the company is the management proposal to amend the company's certificate of incorporation to provide for the phased-in declassification of the board of directors and provide for the annual election of all directors as set forth in the form of the amendment attached to the company's proxy statement as Exhibit A. The board has adopted corresponding amendments to the company's bylaws attached to the company's proxy statement as Exhibit B, which amendments are subject to and will become effective only upon the effectiveness of the amendment to the company's certificate of incorporation. The board has recommended a vote for the approval of the amendment to the company's certificate of incorporation to phase in the declassification of the board of directors commencing with the company's 2017 annual meeting of stockholders. The last proposal before the stockholders of the company is the management proposal to determine the advisability of the board of directors taking the steps necessary to implement a majority voting standard in uncontested director elections. The board has recommended a vote for the proposal to advise the board to implement a majority voting standard in uncontested director elections. This concludes our consideration of all of the proposals at this meeting, and I hereby declare the polls closed for voting. Since there is no further business to be considered, that concludes the business portion of the meeting. The annual stockholders meeting of SeaWorld Entertainment, Inc. is now adjourned and concluded. As you may recall, we have approximately 81.56% of all of the shares entitled to vote present by proxy. At this time, I would like to report the preliminary results from the Inspector of Election for shares voted at this meeting by such proxy. The report shows that all of the nominees for election to the Board of Directors have been duly elected as recommended by the Board. Congratulations to each of Don, Deb, and Peter. The appointment of Deloitte & Touche LLP as the company's independent registered public accounting firm as recommended by the board has been duly ratified. On an advisory basis, the compensation of the company's named executive officers has been approved as recommended by the board. The amendment to the company's certificate of incorporation to phase in the declassification of the board of directors beginning at the 2017 annual meeting has been approved as such amendment, along with the corresponding amendments to the company's bylaws, will become effective upon the filing of a certificate of amendment with the Secretary of State of the State of Delaware, which filing is expected to take place shortly after this meeting. The management proposal to determine the advisability of implementing majority voting in uncontested director elections has been approved, and the board expects to take appropriate action shortly after this meeting to amend the company's bylaws to provide for majority voting in uncontested director elections. The complete voting results will be contained in a Form 8K that will be filed with the SEC within 4 business days following this meeting, and will be available on our investor relations website promptly after we make such filing. Before we get started with the remarks from management and the question and answer session, I would like to remind everyone that the following discussion contains forward-looking statements, which are predictions, projections, and other statements about future events. These statements are not historical facts and are subject to known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors, which may cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to be materially different than such anticipated results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Accordingly, such forward-looking statements should not be relied upon, and except to the extent required by applicable security laws, we undertake no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, and thus it should not be assumed that our silence over time, that actual events are occurring as expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. Please refer to our discussion set forth under the caption Risk Factors in our annual report on Form 10-K for the fiscal year ended December 31st, 2015. As such risks, uncertainties, and factors may be updated in the company's periodic filings with the SEC. Thank you for your attention and your investment in SeaWorld Entertainment. Now I will turn it over to Joel Manby for remarks from management.
Thank you, Tony. And thank you, everyone, again for joining our annual shareholders meeting. Before I begin, though, I would like to take a moment to express our most heartfelt condolences to the many victims of the tragic events in Orlando this past week. Understanding and reacting to these unspeakable events has been very difficult for our team members, our community, and our industry. We have team members who have been impacted by a loss, and our hearts and prayers are with them, as they are for all the victims and all the families impacted by this event. Events like these remind us of our fundamental commitment to safety, of our guests, our team members, and our animals. And we are taking extra steps to make sure we respect this responsibility to have a safe and secure environment every day. Our hearts also go out to the family and our friends at Disney who are dealing with last night's tragic accident. But now I'd like to continue with the annual meeting. We've driven some important changes over the past year since our last annual meeting. We developed a new strategic plan. We enhanced our senior management team. And we've added and nominated another new board member, both with extensive theme park experience to help guide us through our turnaround. We also announced yesterday that Jack Roddy has joined the company as a new Chief Human Resource and Culture Officer. I welcome Jack to the company, and his extensive background in culture and organizational development will be of great value as we focus on engaging our 23,000 employee ambassadors and our mission to create experiences that matter. We are also evolving the SeaWorld brand, and in March, we took a bold and decisive step with our decision to stop orca breeding and make this the last generation of orcas at SeaWorld. Looking ahead, we remain committed to investing in our parks by adding new rides and attractions to keep our parks fresh and exciting to our guests. Last week, we debuted Mako, the longest, tallest, fastest roller coaster in Orlando. And I'll tell you, I just rode it four times last week, and it is an incredible ride. And this coming Friday, we will be opening Cobra's Curse at Busch Gardens Tampa. Discovery Point has also opened a few weeks ago in San Antonio with a very expansive viewing area and an optional upgrade to get close with and play alongside a dolphin, the only place in Texas you can do so. So we're focused on continually improving the guest experience and providing experiences that matter while running our 12 parks in an efficient and effective manner. We appreciate our shareholders' support as we work through the turnaround of this company. With that being said, we have reserved about 10 minutes during this meeting to answer questions from our stockholders for management or directed to our accounting firm, Deloitte & Touche. As you're aware, the virtual annual meeting platform has allowed our stockholders to submit questions during this meeting. We also received a few questions via the shareholder forum. While our team is checking to see any questions that have been submitted during the meeting, I'll take a moment to answer some of those questions that were submitted on the forum. So the first one that came in before the meeting started on the forum is, in the past, you have shared some insight based on survey work that shows how your guests and potential guests view your decision to phase out the orca shows and end breeding. Is there any way you can quantify what the impact has been or will be, or is it still too early to show up in any data? So thanks a lot for that question. We were in New York and Boston talking to investors a few weeks ago and also got a similar question. So as a reminder, during our announcement, we did inform investors on our outlook regarding the next 3 to 5 year period after the announcement in terms of revenue and attendance. And that research that is posted on our website informed that decision. In a high-level summary, there's two main leading indicators on the research we did on this decision. First of all, from a favorability standpoint, the favorability ratings of the company increased in 7 out of 8 people surveyed across the entire country. So 7 out of 8 were either favorable or very favorable. 1 was unfavorable or neutral. And 4 to 1, so 4 out of 5 people increased their intent to visit either a little or very much. So very, very strong leading indicators. I do think it's too soon to measure the actual change in attendance because obviously attendance and actual visitation is a lagging indicator to either favorability or intent to visit. However, we do anticipate that over the next year or 18 months, we need to and want to start seeing a positive movement at the SeaWorld parks. But per our research and per what we put on our website, it will take 3 to 5 years to show the full benefit of the decisions that we've made in March. I can also tell you just the data that we looked at over a long period of time, the board and I, as part of the board, it was very clear that having orcas under human care was clearly an obstacle for us to grow and evolve our brand to being about experiences that matter. And I'll also share that anecdotally, since the announcement, that we have been taking a lot more calls from potential partners who are willing to work with us, and also the volume is down on our social media negatives. And it does seem that we're getting the benefit of the doubt from many consumers and potential consumers across the country. I also can tell you I've been involved with the development of the new Orca Encounter, and I am convinced and confident that it will be very compelling, although it will be very different than our current killer whale theatrical show. And finally, in regards to our decisions that we made in March, I would be remiss if I didn't thank our board and the special board subcommittee that was made up of our chairman, David D'Alessandro, Bill Gray, Ellen Tosher, and Judith McHale, who were incredibly helpful in guiding us through and helping me through this very, very difficult decision, but the right one for the long-term growth of this company. So that's a very important question. We appreciate it. We also received here, I'm looking at the summary, we received 2 questions regarding either the National Aquarium in Baltimore moving their decision to move their dolphins to sea pens by 2020. But we also had a question from our friends at PETA on the issue about relocating whales to sea pens. So I think I'll address both of those together because to me they're a little bit linked. First of all, on the National Aquarium in Baltimore, I want everyone to know I was in touch with John Racanelli before the announcement was made. He's very, very professional. We had a good conversation, and we have the utmost respect for the National Aquarium. They're a foremost zoological organization. We certainly know they're going to take into account what we think are some health challenges of moving dolphins born and raised in an aquarium and placing them in a unfamiliar ocean environment. But having said that, we know that they intend to pursue this experiment in a very mindful way and to monitor the health of their dolphins as they move them. And as a community, we're very interested in that. We're very interested in the health of all dolphins under human care. And so we certainly, and I pledge my commitment to John, we certainly look forward to working with them to learn from this experiment and how it may add to the science of marine mammal health. And we all, both organizations, want to do what's best in the best interest of our animals. Now, in response to the question from PETA and about relocating our whales to sea pens, we knew that when this announcement came out that some would use it as an opportunity to encourage us to do the same with our orcas. But our view has not changed on this topic, and I just want to give a little bit more flavor to it for our shareholders. We feel that moving them from one captive environment, our whales, to another captive environment that has increased risk because of either pollution or their immune system, weather, et cetera, and the increased cost that comes from doing so, it just doesn't make sense to us. When our efforts could be better used to focus on real issues facing wildlife and to save and protect more animals in the wild. I think everyone on this call knows we spend millions of dollars every year rescuing dolphins, manatees, and sea lions caught in fishing nets or exposed to disease or otherwise injured and washed up on shore. We have the experience and the expertise and the facilities needed to care for these animals. Without SeaWorld, these animals would likely die. And we're proud of our dolphin rescue and research work, and we'll continue to do that to prevent species of dolphins from going extinct. And I'm very confident that we have the best and safest place for the future of our orcas to let them live out their lives at SeaWorld. Now, we feel, obviously, that they receive the highest quality care based on the latest advances in marine and veterinary medicine and zoological practices. So the main point of that is, could this possibly done? Could it be done to move whales to sea cages? Yeah, it technically possibly could be done, but is it the safest thing for our animals? We do not believe it is. And is it the best use of valuable resources that could help animals in the wild to protect their habitat? We definitely don't think so. And on that, I want to point to the major initiatives that we're engaged with the Humane Society of the United States, and more recently with Guy Harvey. We are focused on ending commercial whaling, which impacts hundreds and hundreds of whales a year, or decrease the horrible practice of shark finning, which literally impacts 75 million sharks a year and is ruining a whole level of our ecosystem. And we think that that's where we need to focus on macro issues that are too difficult for any one organization or even one country to solve. And we want to be a leader, and that means focusing on the most urgent issues facing animals in the wild. And that is why we have the point of view we have on putting orcas into sea cages. So let me see what other questions came in. I see here a couple on the screen that I'm reading about dorsal fin collapse and the West Nile virus. And basically, the question behind the questions is, why do we have animals under human care when these issues don't exist in the wild? The assumption behind the question is not correct. Both these issues do occur in the wild. The dorsal fin, most certainly in the whales off of the coast of South America. But I also feel like I'm not an animal expert. I don't want to not answer the question in totality, but I do know these things exist in the wild. And we will have our head veterinarian address these questions on our SeaWorld Care website. So I'll assure that we have that answered in detail following the conclusion of the meeting. The next question is about the status of Tilikum. I get a status update on Tilikum every day. Our head of zoological operation, Chris Dole, feeds it to me. As we all know, he's a very old whale, and he has both good days and bad days. But we continue to provide the best quality of care for him, and he seems to have stabilized in the last few weeks. We've also received a question regarding the status of the California Coastal Commission lawsuit. I can tell you we have a great relationship with them, and we announced earlier this year we are not pursuing the Blue World Project. So this lawsuit is about settling precedent, and we are working with the Coastal Commission as I speak to address this lawsuit, and certainly our intent is to drop the lawsuit, but we are working through those issues as I speak. And our final question received is regarding our breeding facility in Dade, Florida, listed on our 2015 annual report. Just to clarify, this is an animal management facility for terrestrial animals associated with our Busch Gardens parks, so it has nothing to do with our SeaWorld brand. So that's just a clarification there. Are there any other questions at this time? Let me see. All right, well, if you didn't have your questions answered, or because we've answered all that we've gotten online here, you certainly can submit them to our shareholder forum, and we'll answer them the best we can. But thanks for your questions. We appreciate the opportunity to interact with our shareholders and share our vision of the future for SeaWorld Entertainment. I'd like to take this opportunity to first thank our entire board of directors for their active involvement and engagement, especially in working through the difficult decisions we've made in the past year. I also want to thank all of our employee ambassadors for their contributions, passion, and commitment to our mission of creating experiences that matter for our guests. And finally, I'd like to thank you, most importantly, our stockholders and owners, for your investment and your support. We have more to do to stabilize our business, and we are taking action every day to improve our results. While the results won't be linear, we are confident we have the right plan, the right team, and the right product offerings to return to consistent growth. So on behalf of our board of directors and our more than 23,000 team members across the United States, I thank you for investing in SeaWorld Entertainment. We look forward to meeting with you again next year. We leave you now with a view of one of our most recent television ads that lets our guests know there is only one place real and amazing, and that's SeaWorld. Thanks for joining us today.